And gentlemen, brothers and sisters, welcome to a very special interview episode from Media Monarchy. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com. And appropriately enough, it's tax day here in the United States. And that is a fitting backdrop for our guest today. And I'm so happy that you took the time. Reverend Billy is here. Thanks so much.
Brother James, it's an honor to be in your church here today.
I so much appreciate it, and I know it's you're very busy. You've had a tumultuous last week or so. So again, I thank you for taking the time for what for me is a very personal issue and something that relates to, you know, the larger population, everybody. You don't have to be from Southern West Virginia like I am to know that what's been going on in West Virginia in recent history, and especially in the recent last week or so, is important to everybody. So before we get into West Virginia and the banksters and mountaintop removal, Ken, for folks who maybe aren't familiar with you, can you give them kind of a brief rundown on what you and the Church of Life After Shopping are all about?
Well, we have opposed over the years, opposed consumerism, this system of our economy and our culture that dominates in the United States of America, and is described to us by the leaders of our major institutions as normal. Normal. The presiding fundamentalist religion of America is shop, 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 consume. And we oppose that. We know that the idea that we live in a sustainable relationship with the earth around us, in communities that are stable, and that are not being bombarded by chain stores and big boxes and malls, and all this incendiary, cancerous growth that is coming down upon us all the time by this program of consumerism. Now, when you say, you know what, I'm against consumerism, you're saying about us. You're making as broad a critique as you possibly can of things as they are in the United States. And so within that stop shopping umbrella, within that basic faith, we have a lot of directions we can go in. Last year, in 2009, we ran against this very rich mayor of New York. We tried to oppose him with a candidacy for mayor of our own. We were defeated by him. But in so doing, we kept to our values, which are basically defending neighborhoods, defending families from corporations, from real estate speculation, from the forces of the market that would uproot us and say that profits are more important than people. As we came out of our election loss, we were the Green Party candidate here in New York. Mm-hmm. It's a group of about 100 of us. 50 of us are in the band and the choir, activists and researchers and people from all walks of life. We kind of had a series of parliamentary meetings. We decided just to let what we would do next come to us. We always start our politics, our conscience always begins in the neighborhood. We walk outside our front door and we look around. What's happening on the street where I live? Mm-hmm. And what we noticed is that there's just a proliferation of chain stores, of banks, branch banks. We call them chain banks. Chief among them was J.P. Morgan. JPMorgan Chase is simply everywhere in New York City. just everywhere. And it has a logo that looks like a sky blue swastika. We started looking into Chase's investment portfolio and discovered that they were the business partner of Massey Energy and the Arch Corporation of St. Louis and the other big strip miners of Appalachia. And we started talking to the people who for years have been opposing, as have you, James, have been opposing trying to stop this remarkable, deadly practice called mountaintop removal. So that's just happened over the winter. We've been involved in campaigns that are like that. We've been against the heavy dams and the smelters of aluminum in Iceland. We've been against we've had campaigns that resemble this, but now we're just totally in. We've been hopping in our cars and jumping on the train and going to Appalachia just every chance we have. There are Aaron Brockoviches in every valley throughout the region, and we've been engaging these heroes just as much as we could. There's a general feeling that right now is an important moment in mountaintop removal, that the new EPA guidelines, possibly there's a if we work at it hard enough and are really brave, we could make a difference right now. Earth-a-looh-yah.
Absolutely. And it's been something that over the last, you know, at least several months has been rising in profile. Just last fall, you know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has kind of taken this on as an issue. And he and even folks like Daryl Hannah have been arrested in West Virginia in the last few months on demonstrations and protestations. And for folks, you know, definitely check out RevBilly.com. And it shows, actually, you guys have fully documented your own kind of pilgrimage to Coal River Mountain, West Virginia. And, you know...
Yes, we went there and met Bo Webb and the Climate Ground Zero people. And they've been in a nonviolent civil disobedience program going back the last year. And they've worked with Dr. James Hansen and Daryl Hannah and so forth. And... kind of the man at the top of the mountain, Larry Gibson, who lives up there, and just every morning he gets out of bed and there it is. He's got exploded mountains below his porch in all directions, and he's taken on a heroic role in a very special way.
I've lived in Portland, Oregon for about the last 5 years, and fortunately this is a place that doesn't take kindly really to a lot of the big box stores. So it is nice to live in a city where you can make some of the choices and vote with your dollar and buy, you know, products and use things that were made in the Pacific Northwest.
Yes.
That makes it even harder for me to be 3,000 miles away and see my home state of West Virginia that I love constantly be, you know, either the butt of jokes or the top of the worst list or the bottom of the best list in the country. And this terrible situation with this explosion last or 2 Mondays ago, if there could be any positive to come out of it, it is that this is going to put this issue right front and center on the table and hopefully isn't going to go away. So we're kind of watching right now for some of the reports to come back. Of course, President Obama says, you know, he wants, you know, preliminary reports from safety organization and I believe even Massey. So we may see some kind of updates here in the next few days, but I assume it's going to be a little bit before we get some of the real dirt, if you will. But
well, meanwhile, we've been taking that. When our last visit to West Virginia, we came back with a truckload of you say dirt of backfill from the mountains that have been exploded. The load of backfill that we put in our truck is just a couple miles from the Performance Coal Company where the accident took place. And we have been building, sculpting little mountains inside Chase branches. As of this moment, we've done it to four branches, but by, it's funny that we're talking at this very moment. People are going out across, fanning out across New York City with the West Virginia mud in their buckets. And they're, I think by the end of the day today, this is Thursday, so this will have, you can go to RevBilly.com or come to Reverend Billy Talon on Facebook, and you can see the pictures and the testimonials by people who have been taking the karma of the mountain back to the bank that has been financing this devastation.
And that's what's fantastic, is that something truly grassroots, it doesn't necessarily need a leader or someone guiding and giving you commands. When people see something and feel something and are moved to action, they can take it upon themselves and do this. And we'd love to see this all around the country. I definitely want to point out that your recent demonstrations in Manhattan is what, you know, brought me to you and what made me want to reach out. This, your Easter Sunday protest in Manhattan, of course, I posted on MediaMonarchy.com and about the holy hex, is how the Huffington Post put it, placing a holy hex on J.P. Morgan over West Virginia mountaintop removal. The very next day is when the explosion happened in Montcoal.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of adds together again this swirl of life and death. And I know that you've just welcomed a new member to your family, and I know this must have probably been really overwhelming in a way.
Yes, a lot of birth and death in Savitri's life and my life. Right now, I'm speaking to you from our home, and Lena Nightstar Talon is sleeping over there to my left, and Savitri's with her, and we will always identify, you know, we will always think of the timing of,
mm-hmm.
you know, bringing, going to Coal River Valley, going to that place, going to Whitesville, going to Rock Creek, going to those towns, Arnett, and getting that soil and then those rocks and those roots and filling our little van full of it, and getting the blessings of the local activists. Yes, go back to New York and make mountains inside the lobbies of the banks that are financing this, and try to persuade New Yorkers not to give their money, lend their money to this institution that you know, claims that it's value neutral, or claims that where it invests doesn't matter. J.P. Morgan Chase is right now responsible for about 80% of the financing of strip mining in Appalachia.
Mm-hmm.
It's taken this on as B of A and some of the other major banks have backed away from the possible, you know, public relations disaster of mountaintop removal. Jamie Dimon, the CEO of Chase, has gone right in and taken their business. So,
it's interesting to see that some would say, oh, this is going to be a PR disaster. We're going to back out, because ultimately to them, it's all about the almighty dollar. But to an organization, if I could call it that, of J.P. Morgan Chase, these guys, and I should say that I was a banker. I had an account at Washington Mutual. So about 2 years ago, when what I believe was a controlled demolition of Washington Mutual by the FDIC and collusion with J.P. Morgan, I immediately closed my account, because I knew even just a little bit about the background of J.P. Morgan, and I knew that I didn't want them making money off of my, you know, making, loaning out $10 from my $1 in their, you know, fractional reserve banking scheme. Mm-hmm. But just so we've got the controlled demolition of WaMu. They were accused of aiding and abetting Bernie Madoff. They're connected with the Rockefeller families in owning over half of the big pharmaceutical interests in the United States. And as if all of that wasn't enough, they, of course, collaborated with the Nazis in Paris. These are the things that the banksters do. And again, unfortunately, when we see these families and these bankster organizations, this is what they've done. And they get us sort of all fighting amongst each other. And it's liberals versus conservatives and black versus white. But really, it's kind of been the banksters versus us. And that, in a way, is kind of this the history of this country. So these are the things that we're dealing with.
Devil, get thee behind me. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It feels good to take a bucket of mountain soil into the lobby of Chase and to sculpt a little mountain and leave it in front of the ATM and leave a note for Jamie Dimon. It's something about it that it breaks up the cycle of consumerism. When you back away from the product, you invite some kind of spiritual force back into your body that the products were keeping away from you. And we definitely feel that. It feels really good. We're right now fanning out across the city and mountain tapping. We have a new verb. We're mountain tapping the chain banks. Mountain tapping Chase. And
I like that.
Feels good. Amen.
And even just in the kind of, you know, in the discourse and the lexicon and the words that catch on, sometimes making, you know, a catchy word like mountain topping that you can use as a verb that people can pick up and use. Just as we say, oh, I'm gonna Google this or Photoshop that.
Right.
If we can, you know, take back the language. And, you know, you and the church have, you know, some folks, you can call it street theater, you could call it activist performance art, culture jamming. Mm-hmm. I've always liked the term, and I believe it's from Jello Biafra of the Dead Kennedys, monkey wrenching the New World Order.
Amen.
You guys have targeted Starbucks and Walmart and Disney and even the banksters and the military industrial complex and more. And I definitely want to mention, you know, and I've been a fan of your work, if that's the word for it, for the last few years. I, of course, enjoyed and want to point folks towards the 2007 documentary film, What Would Jesus Buy?, which was produced by my man, Morgan Spurlock, who is also from Southern West Virginia.
Yes.
He and I have never spoken, but I look forward to the opportunity, and I feel fairly certain in saying that he and I probably hung out at the same mall in Raleigh County in Southern West Virginia a couple of decades ago.
I don't doubt that. That's a fact. Yep.
He's a good
loyal friend. When he was such a hot star with Super Size Me, he walked into a bar in the East Village in New York and walked up to Savitri and me and said he wanted to do a movie about us. And we went off across the country in two biodiesel buses at Christmas time, 2005, trying to stop the frenzy of shopping. And that was at the height of the bubble. And Morgan had a five-shooter crew with us, and then he joined us personally for 3 weeks. So we've got nothing but praise for the man. And he is that every man that he seems to be. He's not. You ask yourself, can a person be that nice, really? He's that nice through and through.
Excellent. And, you know, and again, being you know, 3,000 miles away from my home state makes me even more of a kind of ardent supporter and cheerleader for my home state. Always, you know, never missing an opportunity, whether it's some song playing on the radio. I can say, oh, Bill Withers, he was born in West Virginia. Oh, you know, any kind of positive, because, again, I've always kind of felt like West Virginia is, you know, either the butt of jokes or like I said, or that people, you know, don't even quite recognize that it's a state. I'll say I'm from West Virginia and they'll say, oh, I have family in Richmond. It's like, that's yeah, that's Virginia. We broke away from them.
Because you didn't support slavery.
That's it. And
well, it's this is colonizing, internal colonizing, making making an area that is poor and can't defend itself, and a site of the extraction industry, extracting resources, and making the families adjust, the communities adjust to a mono industry. The economy is not diversified. It's big coal, big coal, and big coal. The cancer levels, the infant mortality, the black lung, the coal dust, the taking live ecosystems and just exploding them and dumping them into the streams below. The American people have more rights than that. You can't treat our citizens that way. I'm sorry that it also indicates how we treat other people. It seems like it's just bombing. It's what we do in Afghanistan and in Iraq, and we've done to a lot of different people on the horizon since Vietnam in my lifetime. We have to stop that violence and start approaching the earth with that assignment of wonder that we felt when we were born. We have that wonder to rediscover. The earth is giving us an assignment now that is unmistakable. It seems like there's another tsunami, an earthquake every day. The climate is shifting. We have tornadoes that are 2 miles wide now. Anybody who says that the earth isn't speaking directly to us right now is works for the Chamber of Commerce or something. We have a leader. We have a government. We have a god and a goddess, and that is the earth. That is life itself. We have to be life in service to life now. Amen.
Absolutely. Amen. Amen. And you believe have written that, you know, anti-consumerism is kind of inherently, you know, has an earth justice, you know, motive to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, we mentioned Iceland just a few minutes ago, but I see in the news this morning there was some volcanic eruption and it's sending, you know, ash out all over the skies there. Iceland, of course, has had no shortage of problems in the last couple of years.
Right.
And again, we do see this all around the world. And yes, each maybe region and state and nation or community have maybe their individual issues or problems. But we want to ultimately be the change that we want to see in the world. And, you know, what relates to me with whatever, you know, may be going on in Portland, but what also may be going on in southern West Virginia, these things do relate and they do connect to all of us. And I think that's the amazing thing about now this technology, you know, that brings us together right now is the thing that is helping to spread information and spread awareness in a way that the corporate-controlled media is kind of losing control of.
Well, we hope that we break through to the commercial media. There's been significant coal coverage since the disaster, of course, over the last week. And time again, we see the commercial media not mentioning J.P. Morgan Chase. We see the commercial media not mentioning mountaintop removal. They just talk about Massey Energy and their inability to ensure the safety of their traditional underground mining. So they are steadfastly depoliticized. We have to call them on that. But I agree with what you just said, which is that there's a rise of a new media that we can't sit around and wait for the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times to, you know, the Wall Street Journal is the Republicans, the New York Times is the Democrats. And they're off in a world of their own. Chase is supposed to be, they're friends of Barack Obama's. Jamie Dimon dines at the White House once a month. So I guess they're in the Democratic category.
I think they're resisting
regulation, but they're the Democrats and Republicans are fighting each other. But meanwhile, they're often that's kind of like the center and the right. There's no real progressive agenda there. I'm out here saying that there are new economies that are beginning, James. There we say we're in a recovery with its jobless problem, but we're in a recovery right now. And the NPR and all the rest of the commercial media have just gone back to reporting the numbers from the stock exchange and from the corporate earnings. But there are other economies that are rising up as the corporate economy becomes less and less people-oriented. And we see community-sourced agriculture, farmers markets. We see thrift economies. We see skill swapping.
Yes.
You know, we see all sorts of homemade economies where people are rolling up their sleeves and doing that cliched American thing, which is rolling up your sleeves and what do I have to do? So many Americans, not as hysterical as the Tea Party people, but a little bit more, just a little bit more humane and a little bit more ready to work and not shout so much. We're recreating and healing our neighborhoods, our communities. And that is, there's a certain, you know, anti-government aspect to that. At least if the government is merely the representative of the corporations, we have to take responsibility for our own economies. And that is not something that the commercial media chooses to report. That is an odd little story in the media, if it's represented at all. Of course, you know, when we're starting new economies that are basically invisible to the metrics of the corporate economy. Well, then we're not going to be buying ads in the New York Times, are we? You know,
absolutely not.
Well, they won't report on us. So, but that I'm encouraged that so many people have taken the mountaintop removal and sent it on. Our little mountains inside lobbies, I've just seen those images fly around the world. It's very encouraging that there is a kind of democracy that's insisted on, even as the FCC and the Supreme Court and so forth, they're trying to gain control of the Internet. But as of right now, there are very, very interesting, if underreported, things going on. Hallelujah.
Mountaluyah.
Yeah.
and you know, when we're talking about, you know, these, you know, the center and the far right, that there is no what I've heard referred to and what I like, the conscious left, the real kind of progressive kind of movement. And that's, mm-hmm. you know, what we need to see the rise of. And I think, and you mentioned, you know, the Tea Party, and of course today is income tax day. I'm of the belief that, you know, what we see now and what's referred to as the Tea Party really essentially started out under the sort of libertarian Ron Paul, anti-Federal Reserve, anti, you know, wars. And that has been co-opted by the Glenn Becks and the Sarah Palins.
Right,
and the mainline
right.
GOP, that any time you see a sort of grassroots breakout, they're there to bring you back into the two-party paradigm. Because they know that they can't survive if there becomes a viable third, and we could hope for a third and fourth and fifth party. The two parties kind of exist, I think, kind of prop each other up. And anytime, you know, like they try and break away, you see, I believe even recently, Dan Quayle, of all people, urge the Tea Partiers not to go parole. Meaning, don't vote third party. We need you back in the fold if we're going to take our country back in 2012. All these sort of things that, again, are there to divide and conquer. And it's Tea Party versus the anarchists and all these dichotomies. But again, I think it ultimately comes back to the banksters and those families and organizations against the regular people.
Yeah. Times are changing. Things are changing. We've been radical Americans before. We've done remarkable things in this culture. And when we gathered in large groups and we did something that was really, really disapproved of by many and offensive to many, but in which when we abolished slavery, when labor and women, when power was democratized in great strides, there were those of us who were willing to risk our lives. We're at that kind of point now. We sense something in the air is shifting. We'll go out today and take our mountain soil from the blasted wilderness of the old 300 million year old mountains of Appalachia. We'll take that to the ATM lobbies of this $3 trillion bank and take the picture and leave the information with our little mountains and hope that more and more people withdraw their money from that institution.
You know, and isn't it, in a way, there aren't a lot of simple solutions to the world, but I've kind of thought that, you know, one, growing more hemp is a great solution to a lot of problems.
To wear and to smoke.
And to take our money out of these organizations.
It's
deceptively simple. So, again, I thank you so much for taking this time.
Thank
today.
You, James. So, I appreciate being here with you today.
We want to also throw out that you do have an event coming up this coming Sunday, April 18th in New York City. And I love the term, and again, we're going to use this again as we're talking about changing the language and really working together in this 21st century, mountaintop revival.
Amen.
Can you tell folks briefly what's coming up?
Well, we're gathering in the Highline Ballroom, 1 p.m. on Sunday. It's our non-deity church. I think this time our God-Goddess mystery is the mountains themselves. And we have a number of people that will be in our congregation on Sunday that are from Coal River Valley. Bo Webb, veteran activist there, who will be speaking. And we've got our 40 voice Life After Shopping Gospel Choir. And we're going to just access that feeling of celebration. That wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful. Yes. Feeling that we can have when we have a very visceral hope, that kind of hope that comes from action, from focus and risk and vision, that the mountains will be reborn. They will recover.
Mountalleluia.
They will be the mountains that we climb to the top of, so that we can look out and dream again. Amen.
Amen. RevBilly.com, Reverend Billy and the Church of Life After Shopping. Could I ask you, sir, and to spring you this here on the end, could you take us out with just a brief word of prayer?
I ask the spirit of the mountains, so much a part of our lives, so much a part of our culture, the dreaming place that we've looked up to, the place that we've climbed up to and looked out across this land of ours. Give us that vision. Give us that boldness. Make us feel as Dr. King felt in the last public words he spoke in Memphis, Tennessee. I want to live a long time. Longevity has its place. But I don't care about that now, because I have been to the mountaintop. I've seen the promised land. Earth-a-lujah.
Mount-a-lujah. Reverend Billy, I thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on Media Monarchy, and we will be in touch more in the future.
Thank you, Brother James.
Simple and real, 'cause up on the ridge, folks, that's the deal. Well, my daddy worked down in the the dark coal mines, shoveling that coal and shoveling time. Never made a lot of money, didn't have much, but we're high on life and rich in love. High on a mountaintop, we live, we love, and we laugh a lot. Folks up here know what they've got. High on a mountaintop, high on a mountaintop, where the rest of the world's like a little bitty spot. Ain't coming down, no, never, I'm not. High on a mountaintop, high on a mountaintop. Well, down in the holler lived my Uncle Joe. He pulled out his fiddle and rocked his boat. We're all singing dance and we ain't gonna stop. And the moonshine flows behind every rock. High on a mountaintop, we live, we love, and we laugh a lot. Folks up here know what they've got. High on a mountaintop, high on a mountaintop, where the rest of the world's like a little bitty spot. Ain't coming down. Up here, folks, heaven's not that far. High on a mountaintop, we live, we love, and we laugh a lot. Folks up here know what they've got. High on a mountaintop, high on a mountaintop, where the rest of the world's like a little bitty spot. I ain't coming down, no, never, I'm not. High on a mountaintop.
MediaMonarchy.com is your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. Featuring weekly radio shows on the Portland Radio Authority, PRARadio.org, the New World Next Week video series with CorbettReport.com, plus special interview episodes, B-sides, mixtapes, and so much more. Send news tips to MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. You can make a donation, or mail media to the Monarchy, at P.O. Box 12165, Portland, Oregon, 97212. Thanks to all the internet and community radio stations who broadcast these shows, and most of all, thanks to you. Remember, don't hate the media, become the media.